You're Locked On the New York Rangers, your daily podcast on the New York Rangers. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome back, Blue Shirts fans, to episode number 218 of the Locked On New York Rangers podcast. I am your host, John Chick. Today is basically going to be the Jesper Foss show. We're going to talk all about both sides of the debate about whether the Rangers could have and should have brought him back, whether they could have or should have let him walk as they ultimately did. Jesper Foss, of course, signs a three-year, $6 million contract with the Carolina Hurricanes. And there are many Ranger fans, many analysts, who do not think it was a good idea that the Rangers let Foss walk. By that same token, there's a couple analysts, a couple fans who seem okay with the decision. I'm going to present both sides of the argument, weigh in on it myself as well. And it's hard to even know where to begin here. But for starters, I think we should just look at the contract itself that he got with the Carolina Hurricanes. Again, a three-year deal worth $2 million per season for a total of $6 million. That is less than I thought Jesper Foss would receive. I thought that, given that he's been making close to $2 million a season, $1.85 million per season over these last 3 years with the Rangers, I thought he'd be in line for, you know, a pretty nice pay raise, not, you know, anything crazy like $5 million a year or anything like that. But I thought Jesper Foss could get maybe around $3 million a year, or if not $3 million, at least, you know, $2.5 million, somewhere in that range where, you know, people realize that this guy is a very good player. He plays an important role with the Rangers. He brings a certain amount of grit, a certain amount of toughness, a great penalty killer as well. Just a nice, well-rounded player, and somebody who, as he proved this past season, can perform well in a top six role if you absolutely need him to. I think ideally, Foss more of like a third line type player for most NHL teams, but he got kind of pressed into action there on the second line with Artemi Panarin and Ryan Strome last season, and he did great, and he was part of Artemi Panarin being a nominee for the Ted Lindsay as well as the Hart Trophy. And, you know, again, Panarin probably could have accomplished that feat with a lot of other people playing the right wing, but that doesn't take away the fact that most of Panarin's ice time came with Jesper Foss being out there as well. So you do have to give Foss some credit there. But again, this is way less money than I thought Jesper Foss was going to get per year. I don't know if the flat cap has something to do with that. There's a certain amount of uncertainty among NHL teams. There was less money spent, or at least there has been thus far in free agency, than there has been in other seasons. And up until recently, you know, we heard some reports earlier in the season around the trade deadline that the Rangers had at least some interest in bringing back Jesper Foss. They even looked into the possibility of extending Foss at the trade deadline this past year, the same way they did with Chris Kreider. With Kreider, you were either going to have to extend him or trade him. You couldn't just let Kreider play out the last year of his contract and then just roll the dice and just hope and pray that you can re-sign him in unrestricted free agency, because he's too good of a player, and if you weren't going to be able to re-sign Chris Kreider, then you were going to have to trade him and get something back for him. With Foss, I mean, Foss isn't quite on Chris Kreider's level, so I understand them just, you know, letting him play out the last year of his contract, not forcing a trade or, you know, necessarily needing to extend him. But there were reports at the time, you know, at the trade deadline and then into the offseason here, that the Rangers and Foss were far apart on terms for a new contract. Now, far apart, that's very open to interpretation. Maybe the Rangers were only offering him $1.75 million, $1.8 million, although he had been making $1.85 million per year for the Rangers over the last 3 years, so I gotta believe that it was a pretty small difference. Maybe the Rangers wanted to bring back Foss at that exact same price tag, $1.85 million per year, and just weren't willing to go up to $2 million. I'm not sure. I mean, you would think they would be able to do that. It's just $150,000 extra per season. It's also possible that Foss, kind of like I did, thought that he was going to end up getting a better contract than he got. Maybe he thought that he was indeed worth $2.5 million or $3 million per season, and he ended up just kind of having to settle for less than he thought he was going to get with this offer from the Hurricanes here. The fact that he seems to be underpaid could indeed be the flat cap at work. We don't really know for sure. But as I was talking about, Foss' last contract with the Rangers, this is the one that just expired right before he signed with the Carolina Hurricanes just a couple days ago, it was for 3 years and $5.55 million. That's an average annual value, again, of $1.85 million per season. So the Rangers were willing to give him 3 years ago, the Rangers were willing to offer him a three-year, $5.55 million contract. Again, average annual value $1.85 million. But they can't go up to 3 years and $6 million, which obviously average annual value of $2 million there. That extra $150,000 per year was just going to bankrupt this team if they did that. It was going to completely handcuff the Rangers for 3 years and prevent them from doing anything else. I have a really hard time believing that. And I realize it's a little bit more complicated than that. There are other things to consider here, such as players on the Rangers hitting their performance bonuses. Those work against the cap once you go past $6.1125 million. And there's also the fact that the Rangers have several restricted free agents who they'd still like to re-sign. Guys like Ryan Strome, Tony DeAngelo, Alex Georgiev, Brandon Lemieux, all still restricted free agents. Rangers still hoping to get deals done with as many of them as possible, it would seem. But again, I just have a really hard time believing that giving Jesper Foss $2 million a year is going to just completely handcuff this team and just prevent them from doing anything worthwhile over the next 3 years. I mean, maybe 3 years was the breaking point for the Rangers. Maybe they didn't want to give Foss that many years, but I mean, I don't know. Do you guys think that Jesper Foss production is going to fall off a cliff? Because I don't. He's only 28 years old. He'll be 31 when the contract ends. I don't think that it's anything that's really that much of a concern. I guess technically he'll be 32 when his contract ends because his birthday happens to be in the middle of the season. But be that as it may, I mean, we're not talking about an ancient player here who's going to just suddenly not be able to play hockey in the near future. Something else that I think is definitely worth bringing up here, and it's a point that a lot of Ranger fans have made on social media, is the fact that the Rangers just recently signed Jack Johnson to a $1.15 million deal for this upcoming season. Just a one-year deal for Jack Johnson. And as a lot of Ranger fans have kind of wondered on social media and whatnot, it's a question I'm going to propose to all of you right now. How do the Rangers have $1.15 million to spend on Jack Johnson, but they don't have $2 million to spend on Jesper Foss? It's definitely not an unfair point to raise. The only thing I'll say in the Rangers' defense is that they have more of a need at left defense than they do at right wing. I mean, Staal's gone at this point, and I think the Rangers just looking for a one-year stopgap defenseman, someone that they can just plug into the lineup for 1 year or even just half of a year until the Rangers feel that someone like Igor Rykov or Lippert Hayek or K'Andre Miller is ready to seize the job. So I think that's where the difference comes in. Also, the fact that Johnson's only on a one-year deal, Jesper Foss is on a three-year deal. But again, I don't think that signing Jesper Foss to a three-year deal, we're not signing him to a seven- or eight-year deal where he's going to be just lousy at the end of the contract. We're signing him to a three-year deal. He'll still be in his early 30s when it ends. I really just don't see what the downside was here. Just wanted to take a minute to let you guys know that today's episode of Locked On New York Rangers is brought to you by Built Bar. It is the best tasting protein and energy bar that I have ever had. It's kind of hard to explain. You just have to experience it for yourself. It's got real chocolate, amazing flavors, and unlike a lot of other protein bars, energy bars, you don't need a gallon of water to get rid of that weird, funky aftertaste that sometimes comes with the other bars. It's just good, and it actually kind of tastes quite a bit like a candy bar. It has an amazing combination of low calories, high protein, and low sugar. There are no crazy additives, and if you compare it to the most popular men's bar, Clif, it is half the calories, 7 times fewer carbs, 7 times fewer sugar grams, and more protein. How can it be that good and taste that good? I don't know. You just gotta try it for yourself. Go to BuiltBar.com and use promo code LOCKEDON to get $10 off of your first box at BuiltBar.com. Once again, use promo code LOCKEDON and get $10 off your first box at www.builtbar.com. Today's episode of Locked On New York Rangers is brought to you by Roman. Talking about ED isn't easy. Usually we just brush it off or blame ourselves, saying things like, I lost my mojo, or we avoid it altogether with excuses like, I had a long day at work. But with Roman, it is easy to talk about it. With a real healthcare professional who can prescribe real medication. It's simple, safe, and totally discreet. With Roman, you can get a free online evaluation and ongoing care for ED, all from the comfort and privacy of your home. If medication is appropriate, Roman will ship it to you with free 2-day shipping. Getting started is simple. Just go to getroman.com/XXX and complete an online visit. ED used to be tough to tackle, but now there's Roman. Complete an online visit today to connect with a healthcare professional and take care of it. Go to GetRoman.com/LockedOnNHL today. If approved, you'll get $15 off your first order of ED treatment. That's GetRoman.com/LockedOnNHL. GetRoman.com/LockedOnNHL. Something else that I definitely want to call attention to here, and in case you guys haven't figured it out from my tone so far. I'm definitely in the camp of, you know, the Rangers should have found a way to hang on to Jesper Foss, especially at such a low price tag. Again, only $2 million per season for the Carolina Hurricanes. And I know with this Ranger regime, I definitely feel like they've had more hits than misses. I think for the most part, this rebuild has been going in a positive direction really ever since the Rangers started it. There have been a couple misses along the way, but I think definitely more hits than misses. But something else that I 100% need to call attention to here is the lack of depth at right wing. And it might not appear that way on the surface, but when you dig a little bit deeper, you start to realize the Rangers, they're not as deep at right wing. They're not as frankly good at right wing as it might seem on paper, especially when you consider what could happen in the years ahead. Let me explain. So again, if you're in the let Foss walk camp, then you might point to the fact that the Rangers might want to free up some roster spots for some prospects. Maybe you feel that Foss has sort of hit his ceiling, and that's not a completely unfair thing to say. Foss is going to turn 29 years old in December. As a former six-round draft pick and someone who has massively overachieved in sticking in the NHL for as long as he has, Foss has already had a far better, far longer NHL career than I think a lot of people would have expected. And at this point, Foss might not be someone who's really going to get any better. And he is a very good player. He's a guy who plays his heart out. He plays with a lot of toughness, a lot of grit, a lot of tenacity. Use whatever word you want to use. I think we get it. We all know what kind of player Jesper Foss is. We've all watched him play for this team for the past 7 years, and it's been a pleasure all the way. Somebody who earned the alternate captaincy. You know, he's been an alternate captain the past few seasons, and somebody who's really emerged as a well-respected team leader in that locker room. Now, there are some people who seem to be completely fine with this move, even happy that the Rangers have moved on from Jesper Foss. They didn't overcommit to him. They didn't give him more years than they were comfortable giving him. And the Rangers have now, you know, opened up some roster spots for some of these prospects that could be coming along in the next year, the next few years. And again, that's not a completely unfair position to take. But I would like to point out that I don't know that the Rangers are as deep at right wing as it might seem on paper. I don't know that they're really as set there for years going forward as a lot of people seem to think that they might be. So I'm just going to go ahead and look at the other Ranger right wingers as a way to kind of make my case of why Jesper Foss should still be on this team. So let's just go through the right wingers. We'll start with Pavel Buchnevich. Now, I like Buchnevich. I've defended him on the show multiple times, but I will say that his inconsistency can be a little bit frustrating. There's times where it really seems like he's going to take off and become a very, very good player in this league, and then he goes through these spurts where he's just a complete ghost out there, and you barely even know that he's on the ice. But regardless, whether you're pro-Buchnevich or nay-Buchnevich, the fact is his contract is up after next season. He will be a restricted free agent. He signed before last season a 2-year, $6.5 million bridge deal to stay with the Rangers. But again, he will be a restricted free agent after next season. I don't know that Pavel Buchnevich is long for the New York Rangers. Between the inconsistent play to the price tag to the fact that his name comes up in trade talks as much as anyone on the Rangers, I'm not so sure that Pavel Buchnevich is exactly going to be a Ranger for life. I'm not even 100% sure that he's going to be on the Rangers when the puck drops on opening night this upcoming season. Although with Foss now gone, it probably bodes well for Buchnevich's chances of sticking with the team at least through next season. That probably does work in Pavel Buchnevich's favor. But the bottom line, when you consider everything I just mentioned from the trade talk to, you know, he was benched by David Quinn in a game last season, and he's just inconsistent overall, I don't know that the Rangers are going to spend big to keep Pavel Buchnevich around, and he's somebody, again, that could get traded if they're looking to add to depth at center. We've heard that rumor floated every so often in the offseason as well. So, again, I don't know that Pavel Buchnevich is here for the long haul, so you can't count on that. Other right-wingers on this team will go to Kaapo Kakko next. He's obviously going to be here. We don't have to talk about him for too long. The Rangers took him second overall in the draft last season. Little bit of an underwhelming rookie campaign, but the Rangers are still very high on him. I think most of us fans are still very high on him. He's probably going to be playing with Artemi Panarin this season. That can only mean good things for Kaapo Kakko, so that's cool. Kaapo Kakko going to be here, no problem. Will be probably the top right wing on the Rangers for many, many years going forward. Then you've got Julien Gauthier, and he's got some upside. I do like him overall. The blend of speed and size is definitely intriguing, but Gauthier has only played 20 career NHL games, including these past three playoff games against the Carolina Hurricanes. No goals. He still hasn't scored a goal, only has three assists. Are we so sure about Julian Gauthier that Jesper Foss immediately becomes expendable? I think that's up for debate, because if Gauthier does not develop, does not come along the way the Rangers are hoping that he's going to come along, then I think it would be nice to have Jesper Foss still in the mix and a guy who could be out there, you know, probably as the right winger on the third line going forward. Because even if Jesper Foss came back this season, I do get the feeling that him and Kaapo Kakko would have kind of flip-flopped. Kakko would have moved up to the second line as he did in the playoffs, and Jesper Foss would move down to the third line. They want to get Kakko going. They want to get him out there with Artemi Panarin, guys who are big-time scoring threats, and just get Kakko to kind of spread his wings at the NHL level, where Jesper Foss, you could put him anywhere in the lineup, and, you know, he doesn't feel out of place. And beyond the right wingers that I just mentioned, they don't really have another true right winger on the team right now. You know, you could have a situation where Brendan Lemieux and Philip DiGiuseppe are the wingers on the fourth line next season, but they've both played left wing more often than they've played the right wing. But I suppose one of them could play the right wing. In a pinch, you could even throw Filip Hedl or Brett Howden on the right wing. Vitali Kravtsov still in the mix. We'll see if he ends up making his Ranger debut next season. But you guys get the point here, right? The Rangers are unsettled at the right wing outside of Kaapo Kakko. There are no guarantees moving forward as far as who's going to be here, who's going to be a big-time contributor at that position. Now, again, Jesper Foss, his ceiling is limited. I feel like he's already hit his ceiling as far as, you know, how good he can be at the NHL level, but he's a very good complimentary piece to this New York Ranger team, a scrappy, gritty player, a guy who's a little bit of a tone setter, and a guy, again, you could put him on any of the four lines, and it's just like, oh, yeah, that's cool, Jesper Foss on the top line, Jesper Foss on the fourth line. It doesn't matter. He's going to feel right at home no matter where you put him, and again, just a guy that I think just brings a lot of grit to the table. We all want more of that, right? We all want more grit, more toughness, and it was so cool to see him work his way into a top six role this past season alongside Ryan Strome and Artemi Panarin, really a guy who can do just about anything for the Rangers. Something else I think we should consider here in terms of Foss' value to this team is look no further than the playoff round series, the qualifying round series against the Carolina Hurricanes. Now, this is a team that the Rangers had absolutely dominated in the regular season, went 4-0 against them, and Jesper Foss gets injured about a minute into game one of this series against the Hurricanes. He gets absolutely clobbered by Brady Shea, and he ends up having to exit the game, does not come back for the rest of the series. Now, do I believe that the Rangers would have won that series if Jesper Foss was available for all three games or all however many games that series would have gone? No, because the Rangers' biggest issue in that series was the inability to score goals. Four goals in three games just is not going to get it done. And I don't know how much Foss could have helped us in that department. He could have helped a little bit, but points aren't really his thing. But watching that playoff series, it felt like something was missing for the Rangers, did it not? Almost like the heart and soul of the team just wasn't there. It had just been taken away from them. And you're talking about someone who was a five-time Players Award winner for the Rangers. That's not to be taken lightly either. That just goes to show you how well-respected he is among his teammates. But again, the Rangers, you know, they're one of the hottest teams in hockey before the season was paused, and then all of a sudden we're in the playoffs, and Foss isn't there, and the Rangers simply cannot find their game through just about all of that playoff series. Now, I mean, of course, they played well in spurts every now and then. You know, they looked pretty good in Game 3. It was looking like they might even get a win in Game 3, especially when Chris Kreider gave them the lead. But they just never looked like the Rangers. They never really looked like the same team that they were after the All-Star break, right up until the moment that the season was paused. And look, part of the reason for that might be the long layoff. COVID happened. You know, hockey was paused in the middle of March and did not start again until the beginning of August, so I get it. You know, the Rangers have a young team. Maybe not playing for nearly 5 months really worked against them more than it worked against some other teams, so I get all that. I also understand that the Rangers play just three games without Jesper Foss, so it is a very, very small sample size, but for me, it's hard to not feel like they were missing something when Foss was not on the ice for that playoff series against the Hurricanes. One last point that I want to make as it pertains to Jesper Foss. Let's go back to the whole Jack Johnson situation. Obviously, he signs with the Rangers for $1.15 million. Ranger fans, for the most part, are not very happy about this. And anyone who was already not happy by the fact that the Rangers signed Jack Johnson to begin with, probably even more upset now because they seemingly were not able to bring back Jesper Foss, who only gets $2 million per season from the Carolina Hurricanes, and count me among those people. Now, I realize, listen, there is a little bit of a difference. Jack Johnson gets just the one-year deal, and Foss got three. So the idea behind signing Johnson is that he's a veteran placeholder, right? He can play on the third defense pairing, basically just keep the seat warm for somebody like Keandre Miller, Igor Rykov, Libor Hajek, maybe even Braden Schneider, who the Rangers took in the first round this past season. So that's the idea behind the signing of Jack Johnson. The other idea here is that I guess he provides a little bit of veteran leadership, and that's something that I've talked about on the show as well. In general, I think it's nice to have a couple of veteran voices in the locker room, but I don't think it's completely necessary here with Johnson. Brendan Smith is still on the team. He's 31 years old. He's somebody who I think has kind of become a little bit of an elder statesman in that locker room, despite, you know, his play occasionally leaving something to be desired. But Brendan Smith is 31. Johnson's 33. You've also got Jacob Trouba. Trouba's only 26, so not quite grizzled veteran status, but old enough and experienced enough that I think he can guide the way for some of the younger Ranger defensemen in the room. And again, it is nice to have veteran leadership, but you know what? Find another veteran. I don't really think it's worth it with Jack Johnson. I still expect the veterans to at least be somewhat good at hockey, and Johnson, frankly, has just not been good at hockey these past few years. So if the Rangers truly needed to bring in a cheap defenseman to act as a stopgap for just one season, and I do like the idea on paper. I do think it's a good idea to bring in a vet, have somebody who can be in the mix to either be in the lineup or be, you know, kind of the seventh defenseman, the next man up. If anybody goes down due to injury or due to poor performance, you can plug him into the lineup. So, fine. That makes sense to get a veteran defenseman. But if the Rangers are going to do that, then why not sign a defenseman who's even cheaper than Jack Johnson? Because you're only signing somebody who's going to be there for one season anyway, and you could then take the money that you save with an inexpensive defenseman and put it toward re-signing Foss. Let me give you some examples here. These are some defensemen that recently signed in free agency with one team or another who are actually going to be making less money than Jack Johnson this upcoming season. And I just think if you're the Rangers, maybe it would have made more sense to go after one of these guys because, again, you're going the cheap route with Jack Johnson, right? We know what he is. He's the one-year veteran, stopgap, inexpensive defenseman. Fine. But why not, if you're going to go with Jack Johnson, why not pick up, say, Luke Shen? Luke Shen is 30 years old. He stays with the Lightning for just $800,000 this season. Shen has played 759 games in the NHL, and he also just won a Stanley Cup. So why not make a play for Luke Shen? You know, I doubt very much that there's going to be some crazy bidding war for somebody like Luke Shen. And if you were to sign him for $800,000, or maybe just slightly more since that's what he got from the Lightning, then you sign him for about $300,000 less than you sign Jack Johnson for. And same thing for somebody like Trevor Van Riemsdyk. Trevor Van Riemsdyk, 29 years old, he was on the Carolina Hurricanes this past season. He now signs with the Washington Capitals for $800,000. Trevor Van Riemsdyk has played 364 NHL games, and I think he's somebody that if you're the Rangers, you know, again, just give him $800,000 or a little bit north of $800,000. You do that instead of signing Jack Johnson for $1.15 million, and then you have more money left over to potentially bring Jesper Foss back into the fold next season. I mean, what am I missing here? Now, I realize the two examples I just threw out there, Shen and Van Riemsdyk, they play right defense, but there's always a way to work around that. You know, you can mix and match a little bit, and there's even been some talk about moving Tony DeAngelo to the left side from the right side. So that's another topic for another day. You know, we'll dive into that in greater detail in a future episode. But you get the idea, right? Whether you're right defense or left defense or you're right-handed or you're left-handed, look, right-handed defenseman can play the left side of the defense. Left-handed defenseman can play the right side of the defense. It can be done. But one other name that I'll throw out there, and this guy is a lefty, it is Matt Irwin. He's 32 years old. He was on the Anaheim Ducks this past season. He signs with the Buffalo Sabres for just $700,000. He's played 359 career NHL games. Now, listen, I know that nobody's going to get overly excited about, oh, Matt Irwin's coming here. We're going to win the Stanley Cup. That's not the point, though. The entire point, the Rangers needed to bring in a veteran defenseman who's just going to be there for 1 year, a complete placeholder, and there were options that were seemingly just as good as Jack Johnson or nearly as good as Jack Johnson that you could bring in for less money and then have enough money left over to sign Jesper Foss. And why not do that? If you're going to go the cheap route with somebody like Jack Johnson, again, just $1.15 million, then go the full nine yards with it. Go with somebody who's ridiculously cheap, somebody who's only making $700,000 a year like Matt Irwin is with the Sabres or like Luke Shen is going to make. He's going to make $800,000 with the Lightning or Trevor Van Riemsdyk is going to make $800,000 with the Caps. Save that money. And then you could put it toward re-signing Jesper Foss. I just don't get it. I mean, it sounds kind of ridiculous to, you know, criticize the Rangers for overpaying Jack Johnson when he's only making $1.15 million. But Jack Johnson has just been flat out bad these past few seasons. I mean, I hate to be that blunt about it, but he has not been a good defenseman. By all accounts, he has struggled on both sides of the ice. Use the eye test, use the analytics, whatever you want to do. It does not paint a pretty picture for Jack Johnson. So might as well just go the full nine yards. And again, just go with a really, really cheap defenseman, somebody that you could sign and then be able to re-sign Jesper Foss because of the money that you're saving on this guy who's just going to be a one-year stopgap defenseman for this team. I don't know what I'm missing here. I don't know why the Rangers didn't choose to go down that road. And, I mean, guys like the three that I just mentioned, Matt Irwin, Luke Shen, Trevor Van Riemsdyk, are we even sure that Jack Johnson is a better player than them? I know he's making more money than them, but is he significantly better? Is he better at all than any of these three guys? So, to me, it just would have made more sense to go down that road. You bring in somebody ridiculously cheap, and then you bring Jesper Foss back with the money that you saved from this cheap contract on this guy that's going to be your sixth or seventh defenseman at best. Something else that really concerns me as far as Jesper Foss being gone next season is the penalty kill unit, because Jesper Foss is the Rangers' best defensive forward and probably their best penalty killer, and the penalty kill unit for the Rangers was just 23rd out of 31 teams in the NHL. They killed off 80.9% of the power plays that they faced. So now you've got something that was already a weakness last season in the penalty kill unit, and it's probably going to be even more of a weakness this season, because it's not like the Rangers have brought in anyone who can significantly improve the penalty kill unit. I know that Kevin Rooney, he can kill some penalties. The Rangers, of course, signed him away from the New Jersey Devils when free agency began, and we're actually planning on doing a crossover episode with Trey Matthews of Locked On Devils, so we'll find out a little bit more about Kevin Rooney among some other things that we'll get into, but I think it goes without saying that the Rangers really going to miss Jesper Foss on the penalty kill. And then one last thing that I wanted to do here today is to kind of turn our attention to the last four draft picks that the Rangers had in this year's draft. We've already talked about the first five. We broke that up into a couple different episodes. There's an episode titled Alexis Lafreniere is a New York Ranger, so is Braden Schneider. And then we had another episode entitled Rangers Trade Elias Anderson to the Los Angeles Kings. In that episode, we also talk about some of the Rangers' other draft picks from the second round and beyond. But we have yet to get to the last four Ranger draft picks. And again, I don't want to just like fly through them, so we're just going to do two more today. There's been a lot going on lately with free agency, saying goodbye to Henrik Lundqvist, saying goodbye to Mark Stahl a while back, and now, of course, saying goodbye to Jesper Foss, as well as saying hello to some other free agent signings that the Rangers made after free agency began. But what I want to do here is do, like I said, two more draft picks. There are four remaining. We'll do two today. We'll save the final two for another day. But the first one, we're in the fifth round at this point, and the Rangers, with the number 127 overall pick, selected center Evan Vierling. Vierling played in the OHL this past season, split the year between the Flint Firebirds and the Barrie Colts. He was traded from the Firebirds to the Colts. But he stands at 6'1", 178 pounds, 43 total games in the OHL last season, 14 goals and 30 assists. And I like the pick at first glance. Even with no other information, if you're in the fifth round of the draft and you can find someone who was at a point per game in his league last season, then why not take a shot on that player? It's getting late in the draft. Might as well just go with somebody who seems to have some scoring upside. It's also worth noting that Vierling really caught fire after being traded last season, because in the 28 games down the stretch with Barrie, he had 12 goals, 22 assists for a total of 34 points in those 28 games. I'm just going to go ahead and read you guys a couple of scouting reports. This one comes to us from Elite Prospects. Vierling is a defensively reliable, high-motor, two-way player and a credible dual-threat scorer in the offensive zone. He's actually pretty enthusiastic about mucking it up in the most highly contested parts of the offensive zone. He's even willing to take the puck there himself if he has to. He's also a credible shooting threat, even at intermediate range. And so we'll talk about one more draft pick by the Rangers today, also in the fifth round, going number 134 overall. In fact, just seven picks after Evan Vierling, we've got center left winger Brett Berard. He played with the U.S. National Under-18 team as well as on the U.S. NTDP Juniors team of the USHL this past year. 5'9", 163 pounds, a lefty shooter. He played 41 games with the U.S. National Under-18 team. He scored 16 goals, had 18 assists, and in 13 games with the U.S. NTDP Juniors team, he had 7 goals and 11 assists. I'll read you guys a couple of scouting reports here. This one comes from Elite Prospects. Berard packs high-octane offensive talent into a 5'9 package. He sees an opportunity to shoot, pass, or support, and he immediately acts. He's a dual-threat attacker with a bit of skill beyond the offense. He layers deception through false signals sent to the opposition with his eyes and through his body language. He works the puck through the defensive triangle. And then this one comes to us from Drew Way from Blue Shirts Breakaway. Was one of my favorite targets for the New York Rangers third-round picks. Small but extremely gifted winger with a high motor and very decisive. Very good puck handler and also better defensively than he generally gets credit for. Great value here. And yet, from what I'm seeing, he went a little bit later than most people thought he was going to go in this NHL draft. A lot of people had him pegged as kind of a fourth rounder. So maybe the Rangers got some value here. We will see. He is a little bit undersized, but by all accounts, you know, a very solid hockey player and somebody who obviously can chip in with scoring, or at least that's what he's done thus far in his hockey career. That's going to do it for today, guys. Just some other quick news for the Rangers. Philip DiGiuseppe re-signs with the team, a one-year deal worth $700,000. It is a two-way contract. We'll be talking more about DiGiuseppe later in the week. There were also a couple of other very minor free agent signings by the Rangers over the last few days. We'll get into that as well. And Alexis Lafreniere has signed his entry-level deal. We're going to talk about all that stuff in the days to come. Tomorrow, we will be doing a crossover episode with Mr. Trey Matthews of Locked On New Jersey Devil. Definitely looking forward to that as well. But that will do it for today, guys. If you'd like to get in touch with this podcast, please send an email to LockedOnNYRangers@gmail.com. Once again, that is LockedOnNYRangers@gmail.com. And definitely give us a follow on Twitter at @LO_NY_Rangers. Once again, that is @LO_NY_Rangers. Thanks again, guys. I'll see you next time.